Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women who have experienced this intimately and want to offer hope to other women. While we may interview professionals on the show, the content should not be taken as therapeutic advice and is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join one of our free online Worth groups to help with your betrayal trauma, you may find us at healingwithworth.org.
Welcome back to Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Janine and Naomi, and we're so glad that you joined us today. In today's episode, we are continuing our conversation with Jamie and Jody, who are the hosts of the podcast Speak Up Sisters. If you have not had a chance to listen to this episode from last week, we invite you to go take a listen, because in that episode, it's where we introduce them and the story behind the birth of their podcast. They are actual sisters, meaning biological sisters, that are very passionate about empowering women to speak up in situations that perhaps they may have stayed silent. They believe that it is essential for women to speak up because it is our insights and our perspectives that will increase the power of truth and light in our homes, in our wards, in our communities throughout the world. And speaking up can be difficult because it requires women to potentially push back against the social and cultural messages about how women should behave. It can be difficult because we've got strong emotions, and it may require us to develop skills to replace some of the destructive patterns that perhaps we've used in the past so that we can be more effective in our messaging. And it also is difficult because it takes a lot of practice and patience with ourselves and others. I know that for me, pornography is definitely a topic that I believe silences us as women. Many of you out there who are listening may not have anyone to talk to about how you're feeling around your husband's pornography use, and that can be very, very lonely. It can also be a very scary place to be when you start confronting it and speaking up about it, often because there is abusive backlash that happens as a result of that speaking up. Hopefully, and it is Naomi and I's desire that this podcast is helpful to you and you're enjoying our conversations that we have with guests. And if you enjoy our conversation with Jamie and Jody, we would love for you to just take a minute and give us a 5-star review. This helps women who are isolated and lonely surrounding this issue to find us and to find help and healing for themselves. So we invited Jamie and Jody on the podcast because Naomi and I thought that their episode on anger was a really important one. There are so many misconceptions around anger, and since anger is such a big part of our healing journey, we thought it would be great to have a conversation with these two wonderful women. So you'll find a link to their podcast in the show notes. And if you haven't taken a listen to our first episode with them, go back and take a listen to that. But last week, we got to know them a little bit, and today we'll be talking with them more about women's anger and so much more. So here's the second half of our conversation with Jamie and Jody.
So let's talk a little bit about your perspective with the social and the cultural, even the church programming around women's anger a little bit. So from your perspective, let's talk primarily church right now. Women of faith, what do you feel like the programming is about women's anger?
Or the cultural message.
The cultural messaging that's happening within a faith-based community.
Women are happy and supportive. Their primary concern is the comfort of their husbands and their children. They carry the responsibility for that. They carry the bulk of any emotional load in the family. If someone is unhappy, the women need to be looked to, and the women need to be the ones to start down the path of fixing the unhappiness. In meetings, women are best served to be soft in their responses, not intense, and definitely don't get all dithery and meandering in your thought processes, because there's really not time for that. And don't whine. Above all, quit your whining.
Yeah.
Well, and it's amazing all the things that can fit into the category of whining.
Right, right. Oh, amen.
Do you have something specific in mind, Jody? Any experience with that?
Oh, yeah. You think? Yeah, I just think it's crazy how so often when a woman might recognize something that could be done differently or better, that she can be so easily pigeonholed as a whiner. And mm-hmm. That's just not how change happens. It's not how ongoing restoration in the church works. It's just not the gospel mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ yet. It's one of the straitjackets that we can find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Well, and this is Jamie again, and I want to kind of delve a little bit deeper into this for a moment, if I could. If you're following popular science, psychology, any of those kind of thought processes right now, a lot of the thought leaders are talking about ownership, owning your stuff, extreme ownership, extreme awareness of what's going on with other people, because if you can take that to heart and own where you're at, then you can start moving forward. You don't feel as stuck. There is a lot of truth in there. And I think the vast majority of women that I know personally do that automatically. They are very, very good at owning and seeing their part. But there's this very subtle and nuanced part of it that is, we don't have to carry everybody's, and we certainly do not have to own other people's choices and behaviors. Let me give you just a personal experience that happened to me last night.
Let's hear it.
I went over to a male leader's home in my ward, dropped something off. Very simple, short, 1 minute at most exchange. In the part of that exchange, he said something. I responded with a personal boundary. It was just something like, hey, well, you can do kind of whatever. And I said, actually, I would prefer this. That was it. And he immediately reacted to me and was like, well, whatever. And I could feel his wall and was not deep, and it will not affect any of our relationship going forward, but it was there. My internal mm-hmm. process immediately was, I came across too strong by setting a boundary. If I'm going to interact with him, I need to soften. And I first went through all the ownership. If I want to do this. And then I had to stop and say, okay, hang on a second. Why would he react to me just because I set a boundary? And the boundary was just personal. I was just saying, I can't do it at that time. I just need to do it this other time. Like, it was just something dumb. And so then now, right now, I just am seeing this, my automatic response to change my behavior. And now my automatic response is, okay, I do need to change my behavior, but I think the behavior now is, how do I help educate this brother in a way that is supportive and all that, but at the same time is saying, whoa, you didn't need to react to that. And I still don't have an answer for that. I don't. But it's there. It's in everything that we're doing. And we have far more control than we realize. But it's not the control to be available to everyone. It's the control to be very aware of our own needs and our own responses so that they can be effective and affirming for everybody in the room. I am a person, and you're a person, and I'm not going to minimize my humanity in order to elevate yours. There is nothing in the Savior in that. He never did that. Ever. And we have got to start recognizing when it happens so that we make these little incremental changes and we empower ourselves, we empower each other, and we start creating groups of women that start seeing, oh, I get it. I see what you did there. I can start doing that. I can start doing that too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And I have experienced that in so many aspects. So I can relate to that on many different levels of just having a personal boundary and almost being punished for it in a way, you know, like I'm not allowed to have that boundary, but yet I'm going to hold that boundary because I love what you said. I am a human and I am allowed to take up space in this world just as much as you are human and allowed to take up space in this world. I love it.
This is where my thought goes to. How can I educate his spouse about what he's doing to women? You know, how can I help her to deal with this? Because if he's doing this to you, he doesn't even live with you. Certainly he's doing it to his spouse and really wanting to be in a place of elevating her and helping her and empowering her with like recognizing what's going on.
That is exactly where my head went. That is exactly where my head went last night too. And all this morning as I've been ruminating on this, I've been just thinking, okay, there's got to be patterns there. There's got to be, you know, this is coming down. Part of me just thought, this is a younger family. My thought was, man, brother, give this woman till middle age when it'll all open up. I mean, for your young listeners, and you're starting to make some of these changes, it's good. But trust me, sisters, when you start hitting 40s and 50s, it all opens up. And you start really saying, I am not going to be this person anymore. And it will come out. It will come out. So if you're applying this now while you're younger, more power to you, because you know, it doesn't have to break the dam in order to have it happen. I have to give a lot more deep and personal thought to how we educate on these subtle levels. It's got to be done. Mm-hmm. It absolutely has to be done. And I don't have a really great answer for you other than maybe I'll just say, hey, I've got a podcast. You should listen to my podcast.
Right?
Life, right? I don't know. Just open that up.
I just want to add too that Jamie will go a long way in at least having an effect on that marriage by just continuing to have boundaries. And if that guy needs to get all wound up about it because he doesn't like that, oh well, not our problem. Jamie gets to call it as she needs to call it if he's going to work with her. And so at a minimum, he can experience that from this woman. And all the better if it happens in the presence of his wife. And she can see a strong woman in action doing nothing more than saying, actually, this works better for my schedule. How about that? I mean, it's so simple.
I love
that. But the pressure, it's all unspoken and it's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
There's this other dynamic that I think can play a role in this sometimes, where I think we can get some pushback from men. And I think the harshest pushback sometimes can come from other women who buy into the social messages and the cultural messages. And so they may be the harshest critics of our boundary setting, especially if they strongly buy into the cultural mindset that plays out, that isn't doctrinal, right? But definitely there is a cultural aspect to it that they may be passionate about themselves and then can become some of the harshest critics to other women. So how would you address that?
I think it goes back several layers here. And one of the biggest goes back to anger. A woman who is going to react strongly to someone else's strength is experiencing her own difficulty and frustration with exercising that in her own life. Not too long ago, I had a response from an extended family member over something I said on the podcast that wasn't even related to her or anything. It was just a personal, hey, I kind of had this epiphany. She was very angry with me for having had that epiphany. And I had to just, I was hurt by it and frustrated, and I didn't understand her viewpoint because I kept thinking in my mind, that wasn't about you. It wasn't about you. But what happened was in that moment, it was about her, for her. And that's what she's working through. And it is, it's going to be really hard. And Jody and I've had as some topics of conversation surrounding this, and I'll let Jody kind of talk a little more deeply, but when, you know, you're being tossed around in the ocean and when you really start swimming, people are clinging on to you. They either want to be dragged or they want to somehow have you carry them. And there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of anger surrounding that. So my personal suggestion would be, if you find yourself reacting strongly to another woman who is strong, instead of focusing on the aspects of her personality that you might think are grating or it's too much or who does she think she is, consider just asking yourself, is there anything about this that I envy, for one? Do I want this more in my own life? Is there anything about this that is triggering because I haven't confronted it in myself? Focus on that first. And then if you're on the receiving end of it, as you're exercising your voice, you're trying to reach out and some other woman is like, whoa, you're intense, or who knows, whatever, or softly shaming or shunning. You just ask the Lord to show him the women that aren't. I found it helpful to me to just ask him specifically for women and friends in my life who weren't like that, so that I could just have enough of a comparison point that I wouldn't go too deeply into, oh no, oh no, I've gone too far. I've gone too far. Now I'm going to lose all my friendships. The Lord always would bring people here and there into my life that were just enough for me to go, no, it's okay. I can stay on this path.
Jamie, I love that perspective. I really love that perspective.
I think Jamie is bringing up a critical issue that women have to face, which is that we are so relationally oriented, which is just a part of our biology. We are so relationally oriented that when our speaking up might become a threat to the relationship, we can just so easily talk ourselves out of it. And that is where we have to exercise the strength. It's especially difficult in primary relationships, relationships with spouses. But like Jamie said, as we cultivate relationships with women who are women of strength and women who live with intention, we will find that we can, it can serve as somewhat of a life preserver as we're navigating difficult water, because speaking up will challenge many, if not the majority, of our relationships, and will really test them and see what they're made of and how much of our voices they can handle.
And that can be scary.
So scary. Yeah.
When you start standing up for yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's so scary. Yeah.
Knowing that there's a potential of losing that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Or having any kind of backlash.
Yeah. Or damaging it or changing it in a way that we don't want to happen. That's a very real fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet I believe that somewhere in there is a part of us that cannot be silenced. And that doesn't mean that it's raging. Mm-hmm. It just means that it cannot be shut up and put away. And so when we stop doing the things that quiet that part of us, we might find that showing up and breathing this air and saying what I need to say matters more than preserving a dysfunctional relationship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And I'm going to share this, and I shared this with you, Jody, when we talked before, but I just think it's so applicable, because this is one of those things where I was listening to your podcast, and I think one of the last ones that I had listened to before this happened was, look for a place where you're not speaking up, where you feel like you need to speak up. And you know, that it had been happening in my relationship, and I was being quiet about it, trying to keep peace, because I knew if I said something, there was going to be backlash, there was going to be an explosion, and I just didn't want to deal with the backlash from it, you know. And so this situation happened, and my husband said something that made me uncomfortable, and he said, I hope that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. And I said, actually, it does. And exactly what I thought would happen happened. He wasn't happy. He was frustrated, and he had all of his feelings and emotions about it. But I felt more true to myself, because I was able to say, it wasn't mean, it wasn't anything. I was just, it does make me uncomfortable, you know? And I was like, good, I said what I needed to say. And I will continue to say what I need to say, because I don't need to live in a place where I'm just trying to keep the peace. I need to be able to speak up and say, this isn't okay with me.
Naomi, I love your story, and I have shared it with a few other women, in fact, because it is speaking up that's not judgmental, it's not angry, it's not with the intent to punish. It is merely, this is where I am right now. This is who I am, and that matters. Mm-hmm. And I applaud you for being willing to do it despite the consequences that you knew you would get. And yet, it fuels something inside of you, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I think it just inspires us to continue to grow in who we are. And all you did was say, this is where I'm at on that. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Thank you.
Yeah, so many of our listeners do get that backlash from their husbands. They think, or when a woman speaks up about a situation, they're often, the messaging that comes back to them is often, oh, you're just trying to punish me, or you're just trying to get back at me. And it becomes really difficult to maneuver through that, like psychologically.
And it's perceived as anger, you know, like, as we're talking about anger, we're perceived as being angry when we speak up, even though there wasn't any anger involved in it. It was just a simple statement, but there's anger is perceived and then is projected back.
Yeah, that's just a classic defensive mechanism that people in our lives will use when the way we respond, even if it is in light and truth, but that when the way that we respond mirrors back to them what they are bringing to us, and they can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, in your situation, Naomi, your husband didn't want to be the kind of person that would pressure you into doing something that you felt uncomfortable with. And so as soon as you say, I am uncomfortable with this, then he has to go, oh, yikes, this is real for me.
Yeah.
And I'm really wanting something from her that she's not okay with. And now he has to deal with that, and thus the explosion.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to share something that came up just this morning in a conversation that I had with my husband. And I hadn't thought about this before, but there is a parable of the currant bush in the New Testament. And the Savior teaches this parable. When the currant bush is being pruned, the bush says, why are you hurting me? You shouldn't do this because it hurts me. And yet the pruner understands that some things need to happen so that the bush can grow into a beautiful, healthy, functioning currant bush. And without it, it won't. And so as we are dealing with people in partnerships, in other relationships, just because the bush might respond to us and say, "You're hurting me, you're hurting me, this can't be right." We don't have to buy into that. And the bush can either decide to take the opportunity and become stronger and healthier and more vibrant and alive from it or not. But that's not ours to decide. And so I think in those circumstances, I never saw that parable as a parable that could apply to boundaries and just being able to say, that's not something that's going to be okay. And just let it play out and be able to stand in that and not swoop into the worry that we're not being supportive, we're not being helpful, good wives don't handle it like this. That's just the beginning of the list.
And just as a reminder, this battle is often less with the people in our lives than it is within our own heads. It's our second guessing or thinking that it means something that it doesn't necessarily mean. And that's why, you know, in Naomi's great story, her ability to just say it and then just sit with that and let that go and not let all the, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said it because that'll come, you know, but to not let that run the show, just to remind ourselves, speak kindly inside. As you're walking through this process, it's okay to just do something and just let it sit there. You know, it's often less about them than it is our worries. And as we're kinder and focused in our work inside our own heads, that's going to be as important. And we're going to see as many, I would say, positive effects in our relationships with just that.
What has been helpful to you to get out of your head about those thoughts that come in? Has there been a process or certain things, helpful things that you say to yourself when the backlash starts coming? You know, how do you get out of your head?
For me, this is Jamie. One thing President Nelson in a talk in General Conference said, invited all the members as much as possible to refrain from engaging with media that celebrates covenant breaking. Now, that's a pretty tall order, and it's a very individual thing to think about. And this may not seem related, but for me, I started making a connection between all the other voices that were constantly barraging me and my ability to manage the voices in my head. I had to stop letting so much else in. And that also then trickled into a process. It's a very simple personal process of meditation that allows me to just spend time in quiet and peace in my own head. But I have become, as I've gotten older, very aware of all the voices, because I need to work on that voice, the one that's telling me all these things. And I cannot have a brain that is filled with so much else. If we can create some real quiet, we can provide a way for us to kind of hear that voice. And then we can start having the discussions of saying, wait, that's not true. And, or no, there's another way to think about this, or singing the hymn or whatever. But if the barrage is there, singing the hymn won't be enough. We have got to quiet it first, in my experience. That is the only thing that works for me.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Jody, what about you? How do you get out of your head?
Yeah, I do two things that are very closely related to what Jamie expressed. And the first is I try to get into my body. And that can take a number of forms. Sometimes it means that I just go on a walk. Sometimes it means that I jump on a trampoline or take a minute to sit and just feel my own breathing, depending on how much time and availability I have. But I try to get into my body because my body is here and now. But another thing that I do, and that is very much a process for me, I just try to walk through this doctrine If it does not edify, it is not of God. And if in my head I am spinning about something that's not of God, that's not calm and peaceful and edifying and expanding, that's not light. And so sometimes I have to repeatedly just pull back. Okay, that those thoughts, they're bringing these feelings, that's not of God. That's down that dark rabbit hole that I so frequently get stuck in. And so that's just a practice of assessing what's happening and weighing it. And if it's not edifying to me, because I matter and what's going on in my mind and heart and spirit matters. And if my assessment is that it is not edifying, that's not of God. And so then I just go seeking for what is, whatever is of God. And maybe in that moment, I have no thoughts or no clarity. But if I sit down and play the piano for a few minutes, I can find the spirit again. Or if I spend a few minutes with my child being fully present, or if I take that thing to the neighbor that I've been thinking about, or, you know, whatever is on the list or whatever comes up at the time. My experience is that there's always a ram in the thicket. So when I find that I'm overwhelmed and I ask the question, is this edifying? And if it's not, I can find something that is. So those are a couple of things that are helpful to me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Anything else that you would like to add around the messaging, the social messaging that women get around anger, or the cultural messaging, or even church? Is there any other points that you'd like to bring up?
I'd like to just clarify something, that as we're sometimes beginning this process or in the middle of it, we can easily have a tendency to believe that when we feel a little bit stirred up, that automatically means we're not feeling the spirit. And that's tricky when we begin to speak up, because when you begin, it's like standing on the edge of a cliff and our bodies are flooded. We feel terrified. We know the consequences might be severe. And so we're having all sorts of a physiological response, and we can accidentally tell ourselves that is an absence of the spirit.
Or so, creating contention.
Oh, yes. Yes. When what we're doing is we're doing something that is extremely brave in the face of fear. And it is vital that we tease that apart, that we come to know in ourselves the difference between just having a strong physiological response because we're being brave and doing something we don't usually do, or that isn't necessarily supported by the culture, that the microculture in our home or the macro culture at large, or if we're just being rude. That is a very spiritual process, but that is to me a perfect example of God being in the details. Our heavenly parents understand how closely connected our feelings are to the spirit, and how closely connected our bodies are, the housing for the spirit, and they can work in tandem. And so we have to be very careful and pay close attention so we don't just automatically assume that we're dealing with the natural man, when what we're actually doing is giving our spirits a place to grow and thrive.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And other people's spirit, you know, it gives other people's spirit the opportunity to grow and thrive.
That's brilliant. We can end on that.
I love where this conversation has gone, and just kind of everything that we've talked about. I think it is such a powerful thing to be able to face those things in our lives that are scary, that require us to speak up. And I love how you talked about finding a place of quiet, finding what quiets our inner voices so that we can hear those ones that are the most important. I know I can relate to that, and that's kind of been my my path as well, is in hearing and understanding where I need to go and what I need to do, has been really filtering out a lot of media and things like that. And for me also, spending a lot of time in the temple has been, I mean, obviously not this last year, but but before that, spending a lot of time in the temple really helped me to ground myself and to kind of zero out emotionally and really come to a peaceful place and be able to handle all of the crazy in life that has been happening. I think just in this whole part of just speaking about anger and kind of how it relates to speaking up and taking up space in the world, I think has been really powerful today. So I appreciate your being here and participating and giving us your thoughts, and thank you so much.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. And we look forward to getting to know both of you better and your audience as well. I think this is a really great, great group of people. They're actively trying to, you know, to get these higher levels of connectivity and character development and all of that. And it's a privilege to find people that are on the path.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.